were here was that George was preaching this morning, but he has graciously moved his time to another time. So I appreciate that. Thank Josh and Jessica coming in yesterday to get the music ready and to get that recorded, which was probably a really good thing, because after they did that, Josh found out he'd been exposed to COVID at work, and so he wasn't going anywhere today anyway. So, you know, this is a crazy thing. And when Dave asked me, it was interesting, you know, that he was leaving town, so, you know, it was okay for me to preach, I guess. And then he asked me what I was preaching on, and I told him I was preaching on the importance of meeting together, and then he told everybody to stay home. So this is a little strange, but I hope that even though you're not here right now, even though you are watching from home, and from some of the things that we've looked at, there's people from Indiana, from Ohio, from the Philippines that are all watching this morning, and that's awesome. But and so I hope that you take what I say today and think about it and think over it and pray over it. And when the time comes here in a couple of weeks, hopefully that everything opens back up and we're all able to gather back together again, that you'll really think about what I've had to say today. Before we dig into this, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we just thank you for the ability we have at this time to do things the way we're doing them this morning. That we can still be together as a body, even though we're not together here. That we're still able to put your word out. God, thank you for Doug being here to put all this together and getting it out to the people. And God, most importantly, we thank you for you. And especially, Lord, in the times that we live in right now, God, I thank you that you are in control, that you are still sovereign, you are still Lord, that you are still overseeing the universe. And God, be with us this morning through this time. Be with me as I speak, and those that are listening as they hear, Lord, I pray that the words that I speak would be your words and that they would penetrate hearts. God, we just thank you so much for who you are. And we just pray all this in your son's name. Amen. 2020. Now, there was a time, wasn't that long ago, that 2020 symbolized clarity. Everybody wants 2020 vision. If you don't have 2020 vision, you get glasses so that you can have 2020 vision. Or you get surgery so you can have 20/20 vision, because you want to be able to see clearly. Hindsight was said to be 20/20. Why? Because most things look clearer when you look back on them than they do when you're going through them. But the year 2020 has changed all that, hasn't it? It's been anything but a year of clarity. COVID-19 attacked with all its conflicting, confusing medical advice. Masks prevent COVID. Masks don't prevent COVID. It's okay for people to gather. It's not okay for people to gather. We need to close businesses to stop the spread. We need to keep businesses open to help the economy. We need, the schools are perfectly safe. There's no way I'm sending my kid to that petri dish of disease. It's all confusing. And then in the midst of all that, if that wasn't enough, we just came through an election. An election that still isn't over. An election that's still being fought. We're going to move from the polling place now to the courts. But it's still, it's very, very confusing. We had Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians all telling us that they know the best way to stop the virus. They know the best way to move forward as a country, as a state, as a county, as whatever. This year has been anything but one of clarity. And everyone's lives have been affected. People are working from home. People have lost their jobs. Mom and dad are both working from home. At the same time, the kids are trying to do school at home. It's anything but clarity. And as is obvious this morning, it's even affected the church. You know, we were asked not to gather, so we had to come up with new ways to meet. We had to get innovative with our technology. We had to find a way to be together without actually being together, and we did that. You know, God's timing always amazes me. You look back in the early church, you look back in the book of Acts, and you look at the time when the persecution hit the early church, and they were scattered from Jerusalem. And they went throughout the whole known world preaching the gospel. Now, how were they able to do that? They were able to do that because Rome had put in roads to all the known world. Rome had put in shipping routes to all the known world. God's timing was perfect for the spread of the gospel, for the beginning of the church. Think about this. What if all of this had happened just 10 years ago? No Facebook Live, no live streaming. Very few people had access to YouTube. Now, people can literally join us from around the world. We've already seen where someone is watching this from the Philippines at my home church, Mount Gilead, there in Mooresville. We have missionaries in Amman, Jordan, and other places who join us every single Sunday. In the midst of all this chaos, it is possible to meet together without meeting together. So why should we? Why do we? Why go to all the trouble as the weather starts getting colder to get up, to get dressed, to drive here when you could stay in your nice warm bed and watch it later? Now, some would say, because Hebrews 10:25 says not to forsake the assembly, and that's a good reason. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Verses 24 and 25 there give some very good reasons for continuing to gather together. Others would argue that, and I know because I've heard this argument, we are meeting together, just not in the same place. Not totally understanding their logic, but we're together because we're all watching the same thing, I guess. Now, for me personally, and I guess this was just because of the way I was raised, because I said so has always been good enough. Okay? Wasn't always good enough for my kids, but there were still a lot of times when that's all they got, was because God put me in charge and I said, this is the way it's going to be. But some people need to know why, and that's okay. This morning I'm going to attempt to give three reasons. There's many more, but I want to try to give you three reasons why I feel that we need to be here. We need to be together. And the first one is because your heart is deceitful. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" How many times have you heard people say, just follow your heart? Bad advice. Left to ourselves, our heart will do two things. Number one, it will minimize sin and make too little of it, and it will maximize guilt and cause you to forget about God's love and forgiveness. See, Satan works best when you are alone, when you continue to be alone. See, it minimizes sin because when you're by yourself and there's nobody else around to talk to or to share with, Satan says, as he did to Adam and Eve, it's not that big a deal. What you've done isn't that bad. It's okay. God will overlook that. He really didn't mean what he said there. So what you're doing, it's okay. But at the same time, the flip of that is he will maximize your guilt. And he'll convince you that what you have done is too much for God to forgive. You've done it too many times. You've gone back to that well one time too many. God's not going to forgive you of that. And if you're just sitting there by yourself, you're alone, he can do that and get away with it. We need to be around other Christians to help keep us accountable. Proverbs 11:14 says, "Where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety." Where there is no guidance, when we are alone, we fall. Proverbs 15:22 says, "Without counsel, plans fail. But with many advisors, they succeed." In order to succeed spiritually, we need the advice of others. We need the input of others. We need others to keep us accountable and to keep us encouraged. Now, back in August, Jeff Fall, preaches there at Mount Gilead, many of you know him, went through a series called Tools for the Times. And he had a series of messages on things that we need in our toolbox to help us as Christians. And in August, he preached a message from Hebrews 10:23-25. He said this: "You heard someone mock God at work. You were unknowingly discipled by a secular world system that chases after pleasure and material things. You spent time with your neighbors whose worldview is so different than yours. You dealt with conflict, difficult relations, depression or anxiety. You have your own dysfunction and issues, fatigue, finances, and failure. You watched a constant stream of bad news and commentary about how you should think and view the world. You might have questioned your own faith or been puzzled, even disturbed by your internal questions or doubts about the Bible. You may have wanted to give up. But then you see the certainty in a fellow believer's eyes. You voice the words that you know deep down that you believe. You hear and participate in music that reinforces ultimate reality. You hear the conviction in the preacher's voice. You catch the faith that comes by hearing the word of God. You increase your knowledge. You start to find more answers. You see a sea of faces that share your faith, and you realize that you are not alone. Your ember of faith stays glowing hot because you are combined with other believers. I know whom I have believed, and he is able. I'm not ashamed, and whoever believes in him will not be disappointed." We cannot trust our own hearts to get us through. We need to be together. Second thing, and this is something that you probably don't think about that much, but we need godly leadership. 1 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 2, it says, "Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace and into the snare of the devil." Now, I think you're probably all familiar with these passages. Are the qualifications for an elder, an overseer, a shepherd of the church, the men who are charged by God to be responsible for the spiritual well-being of the flock, the church. But what, you may ask, does this have to do with meeting together? Well, let me tell you. I know from experience as an elder, it's very difficult. Let me rephrase that. It's impossible to shepherd a flock that's scattered all over the countryside. It's hard to protect the flock from false teaching if the sheep are only there when they don't have anything else to do. If they felt good that day, if their internet went down, whatever. You see, as elders, we can't do our job of shepherding the flock if the flock's not here for us to see, for us to talk to. And this is a twofold situation. You see, it's the elders' responsibility to shepherd the flock, but it's the flock's responsibility to pray for the shepherds. Not to criticize the shepherds, not to badmouth the shepherds, not to constantly complain to the shepherds, but to pray for the shepherds. 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 1. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. The NIV and some of the other translations say, and all those in authority. I'm going to call time out for just a second and step over here. These verses need to be foremost in our minds as Christians right now. Regardless of who is sworn in January, regardless of who has control of the Senate and the House of Representatives, regardless of who the governor is, who the mayor is, who any of these people are, regardless of who they are, God says, my job, your job as Christians is to pray for them. Now, I'll tell you, I have gotten in a lot of trouble in our small group at home because I may hear too, I have no idea, I can't see you, so I can say whatever I want, right? you know, I usually preach with a thought in mind. They may never ask me back again, so I can say anything I want. But anyway, a lot of people in our small group are not totally happy with me. I'm hoping I'm kind of at least making them think a little bit, because I made the audacious statement of saying Nancy Pelosi was made in the image of God. And as much as I despise her politics, as much as I despise her policy, as much as I wish she was not there, Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tells Timothy and us, I need to pray for her. I need to pray for a miracle. I need to pray that God will send somebody into her life to show her the true way. All right, time in. We're talking about elders. We're talking about the leaders of the congregation here. These men need your prayers. Unfortunately, at the breakfast table this morning, we saw evidence of that. The elders need your prayers. They have jobs. They have families. They have personal problems. They struggle with sin just like you do. And on top of that, they have the God-given responsibility of leading you. They need your prayers. But how can you pray for them if you never see them? If you are never around them? If you never interact with them? If you never get to know them? You can't do that. I'm sorry, but you cannot do that from your couch. We didn't get to be close friends with the Gustins by sending text messages back and forth for 20 plus whatever years. We did it by being together. I don't even know how many years it was. It's a long, long time. Probably closer around 30. But it was by spending time together. You don't get to know people unless you're with people. And unless you're here, unless you're with the body, unless you're around the elders and sharing with them and talking with them and asking questions of them, you don't know what they need your prayer for. Let's go back to Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 again. It says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We need to do this with everybody, but especially those in leadership, with those who are charged with the task of shepherding the flock. I got one more thing. And I think this is the most important of all. Because this is where it really, really gets personal with you and me. On your own, you will drift. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God offers us new mercies every day because we need them every day. You know, nobody wakes up one morning out of the blue and says, yeah, I think I'll just reject God today. Nobody wakes up one morning and says, yeah, I think I'll leave my wife today. Or I think I'll leave my husband today. No one wakes up one morning and says, you know what? I think I'm going to become an addict. And no one wakes up one day and says, you know what? I think I'm just going to stop going to church. It's a process. It happens a little bit at a time. You know, technology is a great thing. If we didn't have technology, you would not hear anything I'm saying, and some of you may have already turned it off, so you're not hearing me anyway. But if you're still listening, it's obvious. Technology is a great thing. The time we live in is a good time. It's been essential in these chaotic times. It's a great way to introduce new people, people who are searching to the church. It's a great way for people who have moved away to stay connected. We've got a daughter who lives in Illinois and a niece who lives up on the north side of Indy in Noblesville. Her husband works at a church up there, and both grew up at Mount Gilead, and they've been able to stay in contact with Mount Gilead through our online services and keep that contact with home. It's a great way for those who are truly homebound, those who cannot get out. And unfortunately, right now, we have a lot of that. But it's a good way for them to feel like they're still connected to the body in some way. It's a great way to get the gospel message out to places that we can't physically go. But it's also a great way for Satan to convince people they don't need to physically be here. They don't need the support and fellowship of other believers. They definitely don't need overseers. They don't need anybody telling them what they should be doing or shouldn't be doing. They don't need to meet as a body to partake of the Lord's Supper, Jesus' broken body and shed blood. They can do Jesus in jammies, and every little thing is going to be all right. It won't. Back in 2007, the group Casting Crowns wrote a song, recorded it on an album in 2008 called Slow Fade. It goes kind of like this. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. It's a second glance that ties your hands as darkness pulls the strings. Be careful, little feet, where you go, for it's the little feet behind you that are sure to follow. What kind of example are we setting for our kids when everything else comes before the assembly. You know, Ellen and I have spent over 30 years, probably closer to 40 years, working with youth at home, at camp, wherever. And one of the things we would hear from parents is, I don't understand why my grown kids don't want to go to church. And it's like, because you didn't bring them when they were younger. When there was a tournament every weekend. When there were ball games every night of the week. When there was choir and band and all these other things, or vacations or camp, whatever. What are we teaching our kids by our example? Be careful, little ears, what you hear. When flattering leads to compromises, the end is always near. Be careful, little lips, what you say. For empty words and promises leave broken hearts astray. It's a slow fade when you give yourself away. It's a slow fade when black and white are turned to gray and thoughts invade and choices are made. A price will be paid when you give yourself away. People never crumble in a day. It's a slow fade. It's a slow fade. The journey from your mind to your hands is shorter than you're thinking. Be careful if you think you stand, because you just might be sinking. It's a slow fade when you give yourself away. It's a slow fade when black and white are turned to gray and thoughts invade and choices are made. A price will be paid when you give yourself away. People never crumble in a day. Daddies never crumble in a day. Families never crumble in a day. You know, there are a lot of reasons people are staying home right now, and my notes say if you're watching this from home, but all of you are watching this from home. So this applies all the way across the line. And I understand, just like this morning, there are legitimate reasons, safe health reasons for staying at home, age, illness, people who are still afraid to be around other people. I get it. Here's what I don't get. And I say this because we've had this discussion with members of our own family. If you're still going to Walmart and Meijer and Lowe's and Menards, if you feel comfortable doing that, why can't you be here? But you say, I have to go to those places. I mean, I got to eat, I got to buy groceries, there's things we need done to the house, I got to do all those things. You also need to be fed spiritually. There's areas of your life that need repaired. You need to be here to get that repair work done. That takes more than just listening to a sermon online. Kent Phillips, a member of our staff at home, put it this way. He said, we are created by community, a triune God, for community, the church of God. You know, we have a lot of friends, and I know there's people here who are into this. We have a lot of friends at home who are really into camping, and that's fine. That's great. That's not my thing. I don't really see pulling my house with me when I go on vacation. Maybe you do. Then that's cool. I totally understand that. Everybody's different. But don't use the fact that you can watch online as justification for being gone every weekend. Satan can do a lot of damage over a summer that you're away from the body. And that's what it all comes down to. You see, if you're a Christian, you're part of a body. And a body can't fully function unless all the parts are there. But what if you're not part of the body? Well, we can help with that too. You see, Jesus said in John 14, 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And he said in John 15, 14, You are my friends if you do what I command. So we have to ask ourselves, what did he command? Well, in John 8:24, he says, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. In Luke 13:3, Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. In Matthew 10:32, he said, so everyone who acknowledges or confesses me before men, I will also confess or acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. In Mark 16:16, he says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And in Revelation 2:10, Jesus said, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. This is the point in my sermon where I have to take a little bit of a curve. Because in my notes, at this point, we're all sitting here. In my notes, I was going to ask the elders to stand. And I was going to talk about the fact that we were getting ready to sing a song of invitation, which we're not doing this morning. But in a normal setting that I thought we were going to have, that you all thought we were going to have, Josh and the band would be getting in place. I would ask the elders to stand and just tell people, if you're here this morning and you're not yet a part of the body, or you're part of the body and you just need somebody to talk to about what's going on in your life, then during the song or after the service is over, you get with one of these men. You know who they are. And you talk to them. And they'll guide you to whatever that next step is, whether that is a step of faith for the first time in Christ as your Savior, or whether that is just a time of prayer for a situation in your life, whatever it is, they will do that. But we can't do that, can we? So the last part of my invitation is for everybody now. Because if you're watching from home, this invitation is still for you. If you're a member here, you most likely have these guys' phone numbers. And if you're calling them with a question, you're calling them with a problem that you're having in your life, you're calling them for help, they welcome that. And they would be thrilled to talk to you. If you're someone who's watching, and maybe this is the first time you just stumbled across this website and this service, and this is the first that you've even heard about the gospel, or maybe you've heard, but something this morning clicked and you're ready to make a step, or you just need prayer, you call area code 260-657-5147, which is here, and somebody will talk to you. Somebody will sit down with you. Somebody will help you with whatever's going on in your life. This is a strange Sunday for me and you. I've been on the other side of it. I've been sitting in my living room watching a service. Couldn't wait to get back in the building. Couldn't wait to get back with God's people. And fortunately for us at home, we've been able to maintain that. But things happen. Things happen. There will come a time in the near future when these doors will open again to everybody. And I pray that when that time comes, next week, week after, whatever it is, that you'll remember what we've talked about this morning and you'll be here. Not just to be encouraged. It's not just about what can I get out of the service. but to be an encouragement to somebody else. There are people at Mount Gilead that I look for on Sundays because I know I'm going to feel better when I do. And I could name a few people in this congregation that if you see them, you will feel better. If you don't, you're probably dead. So I'm just going to close this out in prayer this morning. And I'm just going to ask God to guide and direct us, to help us, to help us to understand the importance of being with the body. Father in heaven, God, we just thank you so much for the opportunity that you give us to be together, to be a part of your body, to be a part of this flock of people. God, I thank you for this congregation, for their love for you, for their desire to serve you in the best way possible, to follow your guidelines, your example, your teachings. God, be with the elders here as they strive to keep things on track, as they strive to do what's best, not necessarily for themselves, but for you and your church and its growth. And God, be with everyone listening this morning, no matter where they are. God, if they're a part of this body, God, I pray that when the doors open again, they'll be here. They'll be together. They'll come together. They'll want to be together. And God, that person that's out there right now, that person that's searching, that person that's trying to find a place to belong, to fit in, God, help them to reach out. Help them pick up the phone. Help them to call. God, we thank you so much for who you are, and that you are still in control. All this I pray in your Son's name. Amen.